Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm delighted to be here with you on this evening. This is going to be an exciting show. We had a great time last week with some with our kings. They were on the line calling in to the radio show last week, and it got real hot and steamy. My co-host Shirley Carter is out under the weather, so you make sure you send up some prayers for her so that she can recuperate and be with us next Tuesday. But tonight we are going to continue with leaving the past in the past, and I have with me my special guests, Dwight Pledger and Dan Smith. Dwight, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Val. Looking forward to this powerful program tonight.
Great. Dan Smith, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I am also looking forward to this program and continuing what was started last week.
Absolutely. The reason why I called you your names out individually so that you can respond to me is so that the listening audience would be able to determine who is speaking at different points in our conversation. You both are extraordinary, prolific, motivational speakers and relationship coaches, and I am so excited that you have taken time from your busy schedule to be with us to enlighten us, our queen, on how the man thinks, moves, acts, and goes about his daily lives and relationships, and our kings to enlighten them on how they can be better so that they will know how to treat us better. And one of the questions that was asked, Shirley asked this question as we were closing last week, and we had so many of our kings that wanted to chime in and get a word in that we didn't quite answer the question. But one of the questions, Dwight and Dan, that Shirley asked that I would appreciate you responding to is that when you're in a relationship with someone and you're with the male and you're trying to communicate with him and for some reason he's not responding, how do you deal with an individual that shut down in a relationship?
Wow. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, you know, I really wish there was a quick and easy answer to that. If there was, a lot of relationship issues would be solved right away. But I think what has happened is you have hit right on the core trigger point, I think, of a relationship, in where the relationship can get better if you do one thing, or it can go the other direction if you do something differently. And the question is, what do you do? Because I think both men and women retreat and shut down, but they do it differently. Women, I believe, do it quietly, do it somewhat passively, and this is not exclusively all women or all men. And men tend to do it more boldly and loudly, but it's the same behavior. It's an avoidance behavior. And I think it's what it is, it's a signal that something is going on inside of the person. And I think the first thing to do is to give some space, but not abandon them. And what I mean by that is to let them have their space, but also let them know that when they're ready, you're there and you're available and you're willing to listen. And how you do that that's the $64,000 question, because everybody's different. So the definition of what is space is different for every person. When do you come in is different. But I think it's, you know, it's because there's a tendency sometimes for people to say, well, if you don't want to talk to me, I don't want to talk to you. And I think when people get quiet, what they're really saying is, I need to talk to you, but I don't know how.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely, Dan. That's what I was thinking. It's the what I call it is the man cave mentality, or the man cave mindset. And nowadays, and we didn't have this kind of stuff when I was growing up, but now you have a lot of brothers that talk about, especially younger brothers, they'll talk about having a man cave. And it's their own special room. Even some that are married and have children have this whole idea of a man cave that they go in. And I think that's symbolic, really, of what a lot of men do when they're dealing with the problem. And sometimes if the problem overloads their circuit and their inability to respond to it, in their frustration, they go into silence. But you got to remember this. We are even when we're not talking to you, we're still talking. So then the conversation isn't an external conversation. The conversation goes internal. And men do a lot of stuff, self-talk, and even in response to situations that they don't bring up with their mate or their significant other, it still means that conversation is going on. So the challenge becomes is to let the man understand and know that it's safe for him to come out of the man cave. Sometimes men don't feel safe coming out of their cave, coming out of their head, and bringing that into the light and to the forefront of the conversation. So it's a relational issue that once it's recognized, then I think the atmosphere and the environment can be put together or can be made to where not just the man, so the man and the woman can feel safe about expressing themselves without the fear of someone criticizing, someone judging, or someone leaving and walking out the door based upon what they hear or the content of the conversation.
I think that's a great point that Dwight just made, because what I was thinking while Dwight was talking is that sometimes we don't say anything because we're afraid of what's going to happen, that we can't control we don't know what's going on inside of us. We don't know how we feel, so we can't trust what comes out of our mouth, and we are afraid that it's going to do more harm than good, so we keep it to ourselves.
That's exactly it. And let's forget about talking about it in general and anonymously. Let me just say this. There have been times when I, in relationships, let's say with my wife, been married 43 years, still working on areas of our relationship. But the thing is that many times I'll go into my head, because what I really want to say and what I have to say, as Dan was just saying, I don't think you're going to be able to deal with it right now. So rather than say something that I'm pretty sure is going to start World War III, I'll just shut down, keep it to myself, and give you the silent treatment and allow that to be whatever relationship or whatever communication that I'm going to have with you. I'll just let you wonder in your own head what's going on in mine.
Well, you know, that works both ways, because, you know, women have the tendency of just lashing out. They get so full and emotions are so compiled inside to when they begin to communicate, then it just comes out like a lashing, not intending to be, but the frustration of it all. And when you're trying to communicate with someone that's shut down, it escalates into more than I think it needs to be, because there, for every action, there is a reaction. So,
right.
You know, so it goes both ways. And I believe that a lot of it is from past relationships that each other haven't been healed from and haven't let go of. You know, Rick Warren says we are products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of it. And I think that too many of us are prisoners of our past.
Yes, we are. Absolutely. Because there are many things that trigger things in our past. And so as we transition into our topic tonight about leaving the past in the past, I think just the very title and the notion of our title tonight kind of is almost, it's not wrong, but it does provoke thought. The reality is,
yes,
is that you may be through with your past, but in some cases your past is never and not even through with you. So what am I saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's some deja vu moments that people have in relationships where they have had a trauma or something happened in a previous relationship, and then they get in a new relationship, and all of a sudden something is said or an experience is had which reminds them clearly, and the emotional memory of that past situation or trauma becomes a present reality. And many times we react to present situations based upon the context of a past experience or relational trauma that we had.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dwight and I do a workshop called The Power of Story, and every story has power in it. And the way that I say it is, if you don't own your story owns you. And it's like what Dwight said, there's things that happen in the past. And, you know, just to use something totally neutral, as soon as we hear once upon a time, which is how most stories start, the little hurt child inside goes, oh, no, I heard this story before. I'm not going to hear this again, and causes the adult to react. And a lot of times we're not reacting to the moment that we are in. We are reacting from a moment that we were in 20, 30, 40 years ago that we haven't processed yet. And when we process our story, I don't mean we forget it. I mean we literally process it and we deal with it. We forgive. And we take that memory with us. It will always be with us, but it will not have the same power over us that it had in the past if we process it, if we work on it. If we own our story,
that's right.
We own the power behind the story.
You know, my book, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future, which Dwight and his beautiful wife, Sadie, co-authored with me, you know, I talk about that, about how we have this vault of secrets. Our emotions, our thoughts are all locked away in a vault. And then when we are in a relationship real time, then that wheel of that vault starts to turn, and those secrets start coming out and seep into that new relationship and cause havoc, because we've not dealt with our past, we've not dealt with the hurt, we've not dealt with how we feel in that moment, in that emotion. So Dwight and Dan, as we transition into leaving the past in the past, let us begin from there. How can we transcend and be healed from the hauntings of our past?
Right, right. You know, Val, one of the things that we do at our church, we have a 12-week study, and it's a relational study, basically. And what the title of it is, it's a book, it's a 12-week structured course, and it's called Making Peace with Your Past, Help for Adult Children of Dysfunctional Families. And the essence of this course goes back to our families of origin in our early childhood and our early adolescence period. And what we find out is that many of the things that we really can't let go, and some of the emotions and memories that we have are as a result of things that happened to us, you know, when we were in our childhood, traumas and ideas that we picked up and words that we heard spoken about us and to us and things that have happened to us back in that time, and we never really let them go. So here's the key. It's making peace with your past, and sometimes we call it resolving past issues. And unresolved issues don't just evaporate and go away. unresolved issues stay in a state, a frozen state, and that frozen state might be a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, or an 11-year-old that is dealing with something really heavy, and they really stay stuck in that time, in that moment, and carry that adolescent experience all the way through their lives until at some point it's recognized, it's owned, and it's dealt with, and things like forgiveness and things like reconciliation take place. Those are the keys to how we can let go of the past and not allow the past to continue to interrupt our present and mess up our future.
And I think another place to start is when we do something in the present that we don't understand ourselves, and we ask ourselves, why am I behaving this way? Why did I overreact? And it is to pursue the answer to that question. Don't just ask it, pursue it. What was I feeling? Where does it come from? When did I feel like this before? Where has this happened in my life before? What is unresolved within me? And if I resolve it, will give me the freedom to behave the way I desire to behave in the present. The other side of it is to remember that there are two sides to this. There's one person that's triggering the behavior, and there's one person that's responding to the behavior in a relationship. For example, when I married my wife, who was married previously, as was I, her previous relationship wasn't so good. And I had to say in the beginning, I would say, I am not him. And in the beginning, I would say it in a sort of, I don't know if angry is the right word, but I was annoyed by the thought that I could be him. And I didn't understand why she could think that I was him. And then I realized it's really simple, because I haven't done enough to prove that I'm not him, that I'm not going to do what he did. And even though I feel like maybe I have to go further than I should go, the relationship is worth it. So it's two-sided. It's the person who's being triggered, and then it's the other person who looks at it and realizes that there's something real in this person's past that is causing this to happen. And sit down maybe not at that moment while it's hot and heavy, and maybe at that moment if it's appropriate, but to sit down at times and talk about it and explore it. It's a journey of exploration. You're both looking for an answer, because sometimes we react to things we can't remember.
Right. That's absolutely correct. I'm hearing some feedback. I don't know if someone has it on their laptop or speaker, but I have a lot of feedback going on right now.
Not me.
Okay. Okay, so, but in leaving the past in the past, and Dwight, you were saying that, you know, you do a study, say, making peace with my past, but doesn't that cause you to pull back layers and go back sometimes to those individuals that you've had issues with in your past?
Of course it does, because when we decide to take a trip down memory lane and down sometimes those painful streets that we've been down in our life, we don't do it without support. That's why the essence of this is a group situation, so that, first of all, the safety and of the group is really that atmosphere is presented. So now it's safe for me to go to a place, because when I get there, if I'm having difficulty emotionally, if it causes me to break down and cry uncontrollably because I'm back in that moment for the purpose, remember, you're not going back there for the purpose of getting angry all over again. We're going back to those places in our life for the purpose of resolving that issue so that we can move forward. So when I go there, I've got somebody holding my hand. And when I'm feeling real tough, somebody can say, I support you, or we support you, so that I'm taking that trip. Sometimes I'm not taking that trip back there as the 40 or 50-year-old person that I am. When I get to a certain point in revisiting a memory, I'm going back and I'm going to be that little 7 or 8 or 9 or 10-year-old child that might experience a molestation or something. But this time, I'm not there by myself with the perpetrator, with the one that is offending. I'm there with some support and some help that I can talk to as I'm going down that place. And as I go there and I'm able to revisit and feel that pain, that anger, and realize that some realities are, is that it wasn't my fault, that I was not in control, that I trusted someone that I really wasn't safe trusting. And all of those truths, because the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But again, I'm not going there alone. So as I go there and then I get ready to leave that place and come back, I've got someone that's ready to receive me and say, we support you, we love you, you're going to get through this. And then the healing begins to start, because now I can forgive that person, I can let that experience go, I can come out of denial about the fact that it really did happen. And as I begin to continue to move forward with the support of the group, healing comes in increments until I'm to the point to where when I think about that thing that happened to me, the pain, the memory is there, but the pain has been removed, resolved, and now I don't take that painful memory into the next relationship in order to sabotage a something that could have been a good relationship. But because I couldn't let go of my past, I bring it into that relationship, and everything begins to fall apart, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, Val, you talked about going back into the pain, and let's take this out of the emotional arena and put it into the physical. If you hurt your knee when you were young, but you never had it taken care of, and you thought you healed on your own, and now you're getting older, and it's getting to the point where you can't walk on it anymore, a surgeon is going to have to go in there and do some corrective surgery, and it's going to be very painful, and the recovery process is going to be painful, but it is pain with a purpose. It's a healing purpose. And so yes, you do go back there and you do visit it, but the other side of it is, and it's interesting that Dwight brought up molestation, because as you know, I was molested when I was a child, and I kept that inside, and I kept it inside. I was never going to speak it, and I did one time, and Evelyn Polk and I did a video of it, and we sent it out to youth groups and different people, and it ended up in the hands of a person who was a former foster child, and I met him at one of Evelyn's book signings, and he came up to me, and he said, thank you so much for your DVD. It was very, very painful to watch, but it helped.
Wow.
And then about 5 minutes later, his wife came up to me and hugged me like I was her long-lost relative, and she cried on my shoulder, and she said, thank you, thank you, thank you. I always knew there was something there, but I didn't know what it was because he couldn't talk about it. So, yes, it was painful for him, but the result of that pain was it was healing pain, just like therapy, just like physical therapy hurts, but it allows you to move again.
Wow. Now, getting back to my question at the top of the show, which Shirley, my Carter, my co-host, left off with last week, was how do you deal with a man who shut down? So clearly, this woman was in that type of situation where she was with someone and she knew something was wrong, but wasn't able to for him to communicate it to. So how do you deal with a situation like that? Because I'm sure that there's a lot of my listening audience that are in relationships right now where they're with spouses that are shut down because of their past, because of the fear of communicating and unveiling where they've been and, you know, who they are at this particular time in their lives. How do you deal with that, though? How did he say he had to deal with that, Ben?
It was inside of him, and he wanted to deal with it, but he needed something to bring him out. And in this case, it came from the outside. It came from me. Evelyn sent it to him based on what we had done together. It came from the outside. And I think what I was thinking as you were asking that question is that sometimes we let it go to the point where we just say, I can't stand this anymore. We have to communicate. Mm-hmm. I think that at that point, when a man is shutting down, there's fear, there's embarrassment, there's shame, there's something overwhelming. And
right.
What I would suggest is expressing to the man, write them a love letter. I love you and I miss you. You're not you anymore. And if you can't talk to me, please talk to somebody because I want you back. And just let them digest that for a while. Don't push them. Just let them digest that for a while. Maybe they read it 5 times, 20 times. Maybe they can't even finish it the first time. But just to know what it means, for them to know what they mean to you. And it goes from being about the behavior to being about the person.
That's right. It's a relational thing, and we heal in relationship, and that's why the scripture says that to confess our faults one to another that we may be healed. And listen to this, and many times if I'm in a group and I'm listening to someone else express something about what they have been through, one of the things
mm-hmm.
it does, it says to me that I'm not alone, and that's what this young heard when he heard Dan share his story. He said he heard Dan basically validate his experience, and not validate in a way that it was okay, but to say that what you've experienced was experienced by someone else. So if for 20 or 30 years I've looked at myself as bad, as dirty, as you deserved it, and all of these lies that we're told, and then we come into the light of the truth and find out that what happened to me was not my fault, that it happened to someone else, and I can be healed. So now, rather than feeling condemned, I now feel validated. And the other piece of this, and I don't want to let this go away, is that we have to really get in a safe place before we decide to come out of our hiding. We peep out there many times to see if it's going to be safe, and we test the temperature of the relationship. And the temperature of the relationship is not at the place where it's going to be warm and conducive to come out. So when you can't find that safe place within the context of your primary relationship, whether it's in your family or in a relationship with another person, find a group. Find a church. Find some kind of support, either if it's one person or many people, where you feel safe dealing with some of the issues of your past. Get your healing there and take the results back to that primary relationship where you couldn't really heal in that relationship. And as you experience your healing in that other environment, it will show up in the relationship that you have with that other person, because they will be able to discern that something has happened, something is changing, and that change is for the better, and that change is going to strengthen this relationship.
You know, as I'm listening to you, Dwight, it just brought me back to my marriage and how with my husband, who was very abusive, how he used to always bring up my past, things that I shared with him, because I feel that if you're in a relationship with someone, you should be able to expose who you are to them and not allow them to, and they shouldn't be able to take the information you give them and throw it back at you to hurt you or cut you in an argument. But I found and discovered that in that relationship that he was more broken than I was, and but yet he found it necessary to remind me of my past that I exposed to him to use it as a weapon. So if you, the listening audience, are in a situation like that where they realize that that is actually what is going on, how do we handle it from there? How do we move on from there?
You know, when I've been in 12-step programs, and one of the somebody said something, and I'll try to remember it the way that they said it. They said that a lot of times people who are suffering or hurt and don't feel like a complete person find another person and figure that they can put the two halves together and make a whole. But the question is, which one? And the reality of it is that two broken people are not working, actively working on themselves. It's like multiplying fractions. Half times half is not one, it's a quarter. You become less. And sometimes you have to do what you did. If you cannot eliminate the negative effect that they have on you, you may have to eliminate them. But I say that with a caution, because sometimes simply eliminating them may not eliminate the effect they have on you.
Right.
As most of the time we're dealing with, you know, I'm dealing with issues and in fact that my mother had on me, that my father had on me, and my mother died in 1999, and my father died in 1993. But there's still some stuff that comes up, you know, people who remind
the
me of them.
The residue of it all.
In a negative way, right. And I find it. But I've done enough work now that I know at this point that it's me. It's within me. I'm doing the work. If you're in a relationship with another person who needs to do work and they're not doing the work, you can't save them. You can't. You put out the invitations. If they don't come to the party goes on without them.
Mm, wow. Well, absolutely, Dan. That's powerful. You know, one of the things, Val, as I was thinking about what you were saying, is that it's been said, and it's really true to some degree, that hurt people. And
right.
We never really know what hurt someone else is dealing with, that is, that basically is victimizing us. And many times, that when that hurt is physical, they express it in a physical way, but it's really a way of controlling. And it sounds like the person that was hurting you in the form of your husband, and then he went from physical to emotional hurt. It's the same idea. If I can't hit you physically, then I'm going to beat you emotionally. And it's really a mechanism of control and domination. And oftentimes, if that hurt person doesn't get some kind of healing, you're going to get more of the same, but it'll take on sometimes many different forms. But at the end of the day, it's designed to relieve them of whatever kind of hurt that they're feeling, and to put that on the other person, and it's a vicious cycle. It just keeps going around and around. So many times, when someone is clearly not safe for you, and time and experiences have told you over and over again, this person for whatever reason is really not for me. Matter of fact, they're against me, and our relationship is evidence of that. And I'm saying this, sometimes you have to get in a safe place. And sometimes that safe place is in the other room. And sometimes that safe place is out the door, in the car, and down the street. Okay? Because you can't continue to... the Bible says, guard our hearts, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. The essence of who we are is being muted, it's being muffled, it's being abused, it's being distorted, and we've got to do whatever we have to do to get in a place to where our heart now is no longer enduring abuse. Our heart is being nurtured and built up and allowed to go forth and be who we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask this question. To both of you, Dwight and Dan, Because Dwight, you've been through a journey with your wife Sadie, and with your when you were on drugs, and then you've had your issues with your wife having to deal with you emotionally because of your past. Would you say that your wives were whole, and that's why you were able to work out your process, because you had someone that was strong and willing to work that process out with you?
That's an interesting question, and it's a hard one to answer, because what really is strength? And I think the strongest a person can be is when they allow themselves to be vulnerable in front of someone else. And my wife was willing to share herself, which invited me to share myself. I think she's got issues like I have issues, like everyone has issues. But what was strong that I could depend on no matter what was her love for me. And I knew that no matter who I told her I was that she didn't know about, she wasn't going to stop loving me. That, you know, she may, you know, if I had told her something really horrible, you know, that she couldn't deal with, she may have left me, but she would still have felt the same way about me, if you understand what that means. You can love somebody and not live with them. Everybody has boundaries, and every good relationship has to have boundaries. It has to. So I was able to depend on her, and she was able to depend on me. And it was like, you know, we each had a brick, and we'd sit the bricks down, and then we'd step up on the brick. I'd step on the brick that she's put in front of me, and she'd step on the brick that I put in front of her, and then we put a brick on top of that, and we put another brick. And pretty soon we realized that we had raised each other up. And it wasn't because one was stronger than the other or one was less needy than the other. It's just that we were committed to each other and to the relationship and open to each other.
And that's a powerful piece, saying that commitment. Go ahead, Dwight.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. One of the things that happened in our relationship, and some of you know my story and some of you don't, but I went through a 7-year addiction. Left my wife and children for 5.5 of those years, and then at the end of that period came back home. And my wife demonstrated a tremendous amount of forgiveness. And I've been back home now for 29 years, and she could have at any moment taken any number of things and wrongs that I had committed while I was estranged from the relationship. Anyway, from addiction and losing all our possessions, involved in another relationship, a child out of wedlock, all of those kind of things, that had my wife not been strong in the area of forgiveness and letting
go,
she could have pounded me every time I looked around with this, that, or the other. But I will say to you on this radio, on this broadcast, that in the 29 years that I've been back home, my wife has never once put her finger in my face and ran me down over all of the things and the wrongs that I had committed to her. So what did that do? Did that mean that she was weak? Absolutely not. It meant that she understood something that I think a lot of, you know, women and men need to understand, is that the past is hurtful, but you can't change the past. The past is painful, but to continue to remind someone of the wrong that they did about their past is not going to be productive in terms of the relationship. So we're still together 29 years later and married for 43 years because of her ability to allow me to have done a wrong, but now that I'm not representing that lifestyle and moving in another direction, then we can heal and grow as a couple. And so it doesn't happen like that in all relationships, and it doesn't even mean that she's completely whole in all areas of our life. Sometimes we are strong in some areas and we're weak in others. But that's where the balance comes in and how we can complement one another and help to make each other complete as we're all trying to get stronger and to grow together.
You know, Dwight, as you were talking, and I know Sadie, what it comes down to is that in forgiveness, she also made a decision based based from the past that you had together, but the decision was made on the future you could have together. And she decided there was something there. Because she told me, I asked her one time, and I asked her about my wife and your wife, and she said, because we know you're good men. They saw in us often what we didn't see in ourselves.
Wow.
And they showed it to us. And they taught it to us.
Wow. You should have told me that a long time ago.
Telling secrets, huh, Dan?
I'm trying to tell you. That's a good one right there. Wow. Ooh, boy, Val, you took us there on that one, honey. You took us there, okay?
Yes,
oh, wow.
Yes. You know, I mean, and this is real, because, like I said, we have people nationally and internationally tuned in each week to the show, and they want answers. You know, they're very vulnerable right now in the situations that they're in, and they want to know what's the next step. How do you move on? How do you leave the past in the past? And very important that, you know, you, Dwight, were forthcoming about we, because everybody didn't know your story.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I thank you, Dan, for also being open to communicate, you know, where you've been, having been dealt with molestation, and then, you know, in your relationship with your wife and the working through it. And it's so important, you know, when you say that you know, your wives stuck with you not because they were weak, but because you were worth standing by, knowing that you were good men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
good
right.
Men, not perfect.
There
I think
you go.
That's, you know, if somebody's looking for perfection, I think we should all aspire to perfection, but if we look for it, we're not going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we talk about moving from the past, there's no way to move away from the memories. They will always be there. But we can change them from memories that trigger bad behavior in us to memories that guide us to behaving the way we want to behave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can turn...
I'm sorry, Dwight. What were you saying?
I was saying that you can turn the pain of the past into power that propels you into a very healthy and a vital future. And the thing that I was thinking about is that, you know, many times people, we deny our past. And all of that, it takes a tremendous amount of energy to hold secrets and to keep things stuffed away in the darkness of our past lives. And one of the things that people experience in our course called Making Peace with Your Past, I mean, Val, people that come to that course, they start out on that first week, and literally by the 12th week, some people physically look different by the end of those 12 weeks. And the reason is because the healing on the inside is now being reflected in the countenance on the outside. So is it easy? No. But is it worth it? Absolutely. And so when we begin to realize that we all have a past, that we can be healed from the pain of our past, that we can turn past pain into future power, and once we are willing to go through whatever it takes and make the commitment to say, whatever I have to do, wherever I have to go, I'm going to get healed, and I'm going to get past all of this pain, and I'm going to be able to be strong and to move forward and to be a part of vital and nurturing and growing relationships. And when that commitment is made, then God himself will get in the mix and allow you to meet the right people, be in the right situations, right circumstances, speak to you himself to let you know that healing is possible and you can have a life that's much better than we've all experienced when we're holding on to our past.
Mm.
Yeah.
That was powerful, Dwight. Those of you that are tuning in, I am talking to motivational speakers and author Dwight Pleasure and Dan Smith. If you have a question for either one of them, you just simply press 1 and I will cue you in to speak with Dwight Pleasure or Dan Smith. You can press 1 on your phone with any question or comment, and please limit it to 60 seconds, please. So, Dan, you know, piggyback off of what Dwight was saying regarding the forgiving of the past issue.
You know, Dwight was talking about this power, and I think it's important to keep this in mind about our past. Our past has power. When we deal with our past, we do not create this power that we're going to take into building our future. We redirect the power that's already there, power that will come back, and it will cause us to do negative things over and over and over again because we can't handle this power. Once we deal with it, once we make peace with it, we now control. That's what I was talking about earlier when I said if you don't own your story owns you. Once we own that power, we choose what to do with it, and it's an amazing transformational thing that happens.
Hmm. Thank you so much, Dan. Caller 8133, you're live. Hello? Caller 8133?
Hello?
Yes?
Well, yes. This is Cassandra Snyder, and I had a comment for Dwight. It was very refreshing here that when he stepped out and left home, and he came back and his wife was receiving, it was good to know that she respected the covenant and kept her vows, because when we stand before the Lord, we take these vows, and a lot of us don't take it seriously. But it was just refreshing to know that she was there and she received him, and the vows that she made to him, she kept them. And I just want to say that was very, very refreshing and very interesting.
Well,
wow. That's a great way of looking at it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Dwight?
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things, and Val and Dan will tell you, I have shared my story in all over this nation and internationally, and many people come up to me afterwards, and they don't even know my wife. And they'll come up, they'll only have heard about what she did and her act of forgiveness and being there when I came home with nothing but the clothes I was wearing on my back and standing at the curbside at the airport, not sure who was going to be there to pick me up. And around this corner comes the woman that I'd walked out on 5.5 years earlier. I mean, a tremendously powerful act of forgiveness that I can't even fathom even until this day. And so they come up to me and they say, you know, I would love to meet your wife. I've had women walk up to my wife when they finally do meet her in person, and I've seen them grab her hand and kiss her hand and say, oh, you're Sadie. And I think that the value of being transparent and telling that story is, again, to let people know of what's possible for their relationships. And many people say, well, it's too late for me to save my relationship. But even knowing the experience and knowing that it is possible for someone's relationship to be healed gives many people hope. It gives them hope that if maybe perhaps if it happened for that person, maybe perhaps it could happen for me. And when we have, you know, hope in the present, that gives us power for the future life that we need to live. So thank you so much for the comment.
You're welcome.
Okay, caller 8086, you are live.
Hi, good evening. My name is Roxanne Williams. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. And Dwight, I actually know you. I appreciate both of you today. I'm Marley Jordan's sister. But what I wanted to know, hey, what I wanted to know is, I don't think it was you, Dwight, that said, someone said there's no perfect man, or no, a good man is a good man, not a perfect man. Right now, my husband and I are really going through a rough patch. And it has nothing to do with infidelities, it's just like a difference of opinion. So where I'm trying to, you know, stay prayerful and get more involved in church with couples ministries and like that, but it's just me. So what I want to know is from any of you, are there any specific biblical scriptures that you know of that can help me in order to, you know, where I can refer back to help my growth and to strengthen and repair my marriage?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing that comes, you know, to mind in terms of a scripture, and sure, certainly if I had time, I could think of something. But it's the idea there is that with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I think when we understand that we're dealing with something, and here's what I would say to that. My wife and I, and people say, well, how have you guys been married for 43 years? What is your secret? Okay, well, there is no secret. Because one of the things that we were able to do at a certain point in the relationship is to say that no matter what we're going to have to go through or what we're going to face in this relationship, we have to make the commitment that we're just going to have to work through it until we get some resolve or get an answer or get a healing. So that goes to the level of commitment. And if you and your husband don't necessarily have the solution, haven't worked it all out, but if you have the want to, if you have the commitment to say that we're dealing with something, but I'm committed to working through this until we get some resolve. And if the other side says, well, I'm committed to working until we get the resolve, then it's not if, it's just when. That you figure it out until the right word comes, the right mindset comes, whatever it takes. And when you can't get help by yourself, many times you got to get counseling. My wife and I went through 5.5 months of counseling every week. I had to sit there, and we went through all kind of stuff. Well, our relationship got tremendously better after that. So sometimes we get stuck, we get tunnel vision, and we've gone as far as we can as a couple. That's when the principle of advocacy comes in, and we need to get either in front of another person, in a group, a safe group, to where we can work through the issues of life, because there is no situation that does not have an answer and a solution that will honor God and will bless the relationship.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, and I want to add, you know, in a relationship, it has to be two willing parties. You know, God won't move. You can fast and pray and, you know, lay in sackcloth and ashes, but God won't move and operate against someone's will. It has to be two willing participants. Now, you can stand in the gap, because the Word of God says in Corinthians that the unbeliever is sanctified by the believer. That goes even if you're in the church, if you're in a relationship, in a marriage, and if that person is not seeing the way or doing and treating you the way God says, then you can stand in the gap with faith, love, and patience and wait for the manifestation of that promise to come forth. But he will not do anything against someone's will. So if you're willing to wait on him because you believe that he's a good man, then I believe that the healing will come forth. And he may be dealing and suffering in silence with a situation that you have no idea what it is. But if you wait patiently and be that wife standing by that side and allowing him to know that whatever is going on, that he can share it with you because you love him and that y'all are in this together, then he may be more open at some time to say what the issue really is.
Okay, thank you for that. I receive it. Yes,
Dwight, Dan, if I need correction, you can intervene right now.
I thought that was excellent, because what I was thinking is that sometimes we choose a direction or a path to walk in the midst of darkness, and we're not willing to wait for the light. And you may be just simply lost in the moment. And look for more information. Look for outside information. Look for help. Ask for help. You know, I've been divorced once, and now that I've been divorced for almost 29 years, I know that if I wasn't lost in that moment, that marriage could have survived. But that moment, that confusion that comes out of being lost, was so overwhelming that a bad decision was made, and we changed our lives. I mean, I'm grateful now. I've got a different life. She's got a different life. We get along now, but something happened that didn't have to happen, because we got too confused at the moment, and we're not making a good decision based on sound facts.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay.
Good stuff.
Absolutely. That actually was an answer that I've prayed for over the last, I'll say, week. And I am in counseling. I actually, you know, was ready to make a permanent decision on an emotional moment. And that, I mean, this is the second time that I've heard that same exact statement just since Saturday. So I truly receive it, and I appreciate all of you. I do.
God bless you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, my queen. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us.
Absolutely.
Dwight and Dan, we have about 2 minutes left, and I thank all of you who've tuned in, and we are going to continue on next week, and we'll have some other guests on to share with us, because there are different perspectives, different aspects, and, you know, I invite you, Dan and Dwight, to come back with us, because as I said, you guys are prolific in what you do, and I appreciate you so much. Any closing remarks, Dan first, and then Dwight, and also give your information out, Dan and Dwight, of how individuals can connect with you, if you would, please.
Okay, I'll start, and I'll let Dwight give the information on our website. I just want to keep it short and sweet. You know, to go back into our past and to deal with our past is probably the scariest thing that we can possibly do. We have done everything that we are humanly possible to avoid that our entire lives, and to make the claim that the past is the past and that's it and it's done. But if you can muster the courage, if you can start that journey, when you get out at the other side, you will end up in a place that you cannot get to without going there. It's worth it.
It's worth it. Absolutely. First of all, I want to thank Val for this opportunity. And I was talking earlier, and this will be my closing remark, is that I talked about finding a safe place. Here's what came to my mind in the preponderance of this show. I want us to begin to be a safe place for someone. Be that safe place. In other words, communicate that you will be non-judgmental, non-critical, to the degree that you can. And set up an environment and an atmosphere where it's clear to the other person, whoever it is, that you are safe, that they are safe to come out and deal with the issues of their past, because all they're going to find is love, acceptance, and unconditional love on your part. And when two people have that mindset, there is no situation that they can't talk through and work through and bring about resolve for the issues of the past.
Wow,
okay.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Okay, I can make this really brief in terms of contacting Dan and I. If you text text the word speaker to 55469. Text the word speaker to 55469. You'll get our contact information and website. All right, Val, you got it.
Thank you so much. So you tune in next week to Hot Topics from the Soul. Go to my website, and you can download the show and email it to someone. And tune in next week as we continue leaving the past in the past. Thank you so much, Dwight and Dan, and good night, Shirley.
God bless you. Thanks, Val. All right, Dan.
Thank you,
Bye-bye.
Val. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy birthday. Birthday.